scripture lesson comes from Isaiah chapter 42. Listen for God's word. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring up, I tell you of them. So I kind of have a two-parter today for our time with children, and I'm going to let us all be children today for this one, because the first part is that today is a day, not only, it's the first Sunday of Epiphany, it's also what we call Baptism of the Lord Sunday. And so on this day, we take a moment to not only pour some water into the baptismal font, but to invite you after the service today to come forward and to perhaps take a little bit of the water and to make a cross on your forehead or on your hand and to remember your own baptism. Now, I know that a lot of us probably don't remember our baptism. It happened a long time ago, and we were not really that aware when it happened. But to remember our baptism is not necessarily memory as much as connection. That when we take these moments to remember our baptism, we are reconnecting with the good news of our faith that has been revealed to us, sealed in our lives in our baptism. That we are beloved children of God, and that will never be taken away. So the other way that we can then begin to live into that is, how many of you received your star word? All right, opposite, how many of you haven't yet received your star word? For those of you that didn't, you must have done something wrong, and it's all your fault. That is, check your mailbox. We're hoping on Monday that it'll be there for you. If you didn't get one, please come by the office. We will make sure you get one because we want everybody to have one for this new year. But what we want to invite you to think about with your star word is how it's going to shape the way you look at this year. If you look at the passage that I read to you, there are lots of things here about God at the very beginning. But one of the things that I key into is the word see at the end. If this word, my two words from the past 2 years, have been forgiveness and generosity, if I let these become the lens through which I look at life, how does that change the way I see things? That's what the word is intended to do at one level, is to become the lens through which we see how this world looks different when a word of our faith shapes the way we look at the world. And what do we see about ourselves? What do we learn about ourselves? What do we see? How do we see God in new or different ways? We don't have answers for you ahead of time about that. The beauty of the star word is that it's intended to open up life for you and how you're going to see things differently as it guides you. Now, I do want to say something to those of you who don't like your star word. First of all, thank you for telling us that you don't like your star word. But I would, secondly, and I think equally importantly, is that the fact that you don't like it is already telling you something about the world and about yourself. And so what is it that you can learn whether you like your word or not? But here's my question for you. Where are you going to put your star word so that you see it every day? On the refrigerator. On your mirror. Next to your computer screen. All right. Where else? on your dresser. Yeah. On the front cover of your journal. Yeah. What? Oh, Marilyn. On the fridge. Yeah, yeah. In your phone case. Yeah. On the coffee maker. Yeah, yeah. Where are the places you're going to go every day that will help you see this word? But the second piece then is, what's the kind of question you're going to ask yourself about that word? How does this word help me look at the world today? What is it I need to learn about my life from this word? You can ask yourself any question. You can change the question every day. But what's the question that the word invites you to think about so that the day becomes framed by that word leading you and guiding you? Maybe something will come up during the day, maybe it won't. But it becomes a way in which we live our lives shaped by and following this star, and not letting it simply be about some wise men long ago, but about how wisdom is unfolding for us. So let us pray. Gracious God, we give thanks this day for the gift of your baptism and the sealing of your grace and love in our lives. And we pray that as we enter this new year with that good news, that you would guide us with the star words that we have to begin to continue to look for your presence in our lives, to grow in faith and service, so that we may be a part of this world that you love and the ways that share your good news. Help us to hear your word to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our second lesson today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the third chapter. Let us listen again for God's word. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This is the word of God for the people of God. So, Happy New Year, everybody. I must admit that 2023 has gotten off to a somewhat slow and foggy start for me. I don't know if it was because Christmas and New Year's Day both fell on Sundays or the school break was so short, but the holidays really seemed to fly by this year, leaving me still humming Christmas carols and just starting to get into the holiday spirit while the rest of the world is packing up their decorations and moving on. Add to that the soupy weather this past week, the post-holiday germ surge that seems to be going around, and then what's going on in Washington, D.C., and I would say that 2023 has gotten off to a bit of a bumpy start. That's why I'm grateful for the liturgical year here at church, because it gives me some place to plant my feet and get some perspective as I look ahead. Did you know that we all live according to several different calendars at the same time? There's the calendar year, the school year, the fiscal year, the agricultural year, and probably many more depending on the work you do, the sports you play, and the other activities in your life. For Christians, we also have the liturgical year that guides our seasons and celebrations as people of faith. New Year's Day in the church calendar is actually the first Sunday of Advent, which happened back on November 27th last year. The four Sundays of Advent lead us right up to the 12 days of Christmas, which is then followed by Epiphany. Epiphany begins on January 6th and commemorates the story that we read last week in worship about the Magi following the star, seeking the Christ child, and offering their gifts. In honor of Epiphany, as Chip said, your star words are in the mail. If you don't get one by the end of this week, please call the office and we will certainly send you one. just like that star that guided the Magi and showed them the way to Jesus, so our star words are meant to guide us into and through this new year, to open our eyes and hearts to God's presence in our midst, and maybe even show us a new way, a new direction, a new path to follow. Epiphany is not just a day, however. It is a whole season in our church year, which takes us right up to Lent. The word epiphany means appearance or revelation. It's like that aha moment when we see or understand something that wasn't clear before, or something that surprises us with new knowledge and insight. For example, in the midst of all the chaotic news stories this past week, the story of a gray whale giving birth while a boatload of unsuspecting whale watchers looked on was an epiphany for me. If you haven't seen it yet, by all means, Google gray whale gives birth. It is so cool. Everyone, from the passengers to the crew to the captain to the marine mammal research community all around the world, has been mesmerized by this extraordinarily rare glimpse into the first moments of life of a baby gray whale who may go on to live another 50, 60, even 80 years. Just as amazing is watching the mother whale help her 2,000-pound baby whale take its first breaths and rest and acclimate to its new environment and bond with its mother. And I thought my kids were big when they were born. For some reason, in the midst of a foggy, bumpy start to this new year, this story offered me a glimmer of light and hope and helped me focus on what's important, the amazing gift of life that God has given us and the incredible beauty and majesty in the world around us, so much of which I'm not aware of, but is there for those who are looking for it, or who just happen to be in the right place at the right time, like those whale watchers. We get another one of those epiphany moments in our scripture lessons this morning, especially in the story of Jesus' baptism. As Chip said, this first Sunday in the season of Epiphany is always baptism of the Lord Sunday. And this might seem rather strange to us because we just finished celebrating the birth of the baby Jesus. And now here Jesus is, a 30-year-old man, showing up by a river asking to be baptized. But that's pretty much the way the Bible tells the story. Other than one little story in Luke's gospel about Jesus when he was 12, we don't have much information about Jesus' childhood or young adulthood. There are no baby pictures or childhood highlights to follow. In fact, the primary reason that the church throughout the ages has chosen to celebrate Jesus' baptism on this first Sunday of Epiphany actually has nothing to do with telling Jesus' chronological life story. It has everything to do with revealing to us who Jesus is and what he came to do. So as I looked at the scripture lessons for today, the lectionary passages, the common denominator in all of these passages that stood out to me was the voice of God. In Psalm 29, which we actually read a verse of in the call to worship this morning, the psalmist sings the whole song about how powerful God's voice is, calling creation into being and thundering throughout all the earth. In our passage from the prophet Isaiah, God is also calling, using his voice, calling his special servant, which might mean his people Israel, and later comes to be understood to be all of us who would be God's children. God is reminding us that God, the God who created us and gave us the breath of life and the gift of the Spirit, this same God says, I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. The God who gives us life gives us purpose also, to live in righteousness, which means in right relationship with God, one another, and all life on earth. It means to be light to the nations, to bring hope and healing, liberation and abundant life to all who are imprisoned, whether by poverty and oppression, distress or despair. This is the new identity and direction that God gives to his people. And then finally, we have our gospel lesson. Jesus emerged out of his obscure life in Nazareth looking for the fiery prophet John the Baptist, who was attracting crowds out in the wilderness, calling people to lives of repentance and faithfulness, and baptizing them in the Jordan River. John had also been telling everyone that he was just the messenger, that a much more powerful servant of God was coming soon, who would bring God's kingdom into even sharper focus, who would baptize not just with water, but with fire and the Holy Spirit. So when Jesus showed up in front of John, John recognized immediately who Jesus was, that this was the person he had been telling everybody about. And John was reluctant to baptize one who was clearly greater than he was. We too might be led to wonder, if Jesus was the Son of God, why did Jesus need to be baptized? But Jesus assured John that he wanted to be baptized to fulfill all righteousness. There's that word righteousness again. To show us that what it meant to live in right relationship with God, and to show the rest of the world what God's righteousness was supposed to look like for everyone. So often, our understanding of baptism is very limited. We think of it as a quaint time. We gather family, we get our sweet little baby, we get him a new white dress or outfit, we gather around the font, we ooh and ah, and then we go home and have a special lunch. And everybody feels kind of good. And we sort of forget that baptism is about something much bigger. It's about repentance and new life. And even repentance, you know, we think of like, well, if I just confess what I've done wrong, if I confess my sins, baptism and assurance of grace, it makes everything okay again. We often think of baptism like some kind of fire insurance, guaranteeing that we're not going to go to hell. Or like some transactional exchange, like if we just turn in our sins, either the ones we did in the past or the ones we might do in the future, then God will guarantee us a good life. But both repentance and baptism are about way more than just that. In Hebrew, the word for repentance literally means to turn around, to do a 180-degree turn in a new direction, to stop walking away from God and to start walking toward and with God. It's the first step in restoring right relationship with God, one another, and this world that God gave us. Baptism is an outward sign of this inner change of direction. Jesus asked to be baptized because Jesus was going to show us what it means to turn our lives around in God's direction, and to live in right relationship with God, one another, and the world. This is why when Jesus came up out of the waters of the Jordan, the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit dove descended and the voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The phrase there is actually, "in whom I take delight." God is looking down from heaven on his beloved child, who gives him endless joy and delight. In this way, Jesus is entering into our full humanity. Jesus incarnates, makes flesh and blood what it means to live as God's beloved child. For Jesus, his baptism gave him both identity and purpose. In his baptism, God named him as his beloved son and empowered him with the Spirit to live the life that God intends us all to live. So the voice of God both confirms who Jesus is and commissions Jesus to live in righteousness, in right relationship, not only with God, but with all life on earth. This is what the voice of God offers us today too. Identity and purpose, confirmation and commissioning to the new life we find when we walk toward and with God. Now, unfortunately, there are a lot of voices out there in our lives, in the world around us. Some voices shouting, others whispering, confident voices, cajoling voices, celebrity voices, social media voices, TV and radio voices, political pundits and lots of other people voicing their opinions, teachers and coaches and friends, even preachers and parental voices. All of these voices trying to tell you what is most important or true, telling you who you're supposed to be, what you're supposed to do, how you should look, telling you that you have to wear certain clothes or have a certain amount of money or do a certain kind of job or follow a certain path if you want to be successful or popular or beautiful or loved. It's so easy to listen to all of these voices and to let them drown out the most important one. This is why we begin the new year with the story of Jesus' baptism and remembering our own. Just like Jesus, we need identity and purpose. Just like Jesus, we need confirmation of who we are and commissioning to the life that God created and calls us to live. Just like Jesus, we need to hear that we are God's beloved children. Or as Mr. Rogers might say, "You always make each day such a special day. Do you know how? By just your being you. There's no one else in the whole world just like you, and I like you just the way you are." Just like the children of Israel, and just like Jesus, we need this confirmation that God walks beside us and calls us to be light to the nations, to be agents of healing and hope, liberation and justice, love and peace, in a world that is so often noisy, foggy, bumpy, and anything but loving and peaceful. The season of Epiphany begins with us following the star and letting God illuminate our way. We begin the new year here at this font, remembering not only Jesus' baptism but our own, and listening for God's voice so that we may follow it into our true identity and purpose as God's beloved children, called to be light for the world. Amen.